Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Big third down conversion. Second catch of the night for Schultz.
118.
Goal for the Texans. It's Akers. Inside. That ball come out. That ball come out. I think it did. Let's see if the Bears are on it. It is a bad. At the bottom of the pile, the ball definitely came out. Who's got it? Bears think they do. Juan Brisker feels it's been recovered by Chicago. And it is Bears ball. So Chicago comes up with a huge red zone turnover. Kevin Byard.
Boy, and that was, you know, my rule. I always thought the team that points more or the team that points more excitedly gets it.
Yeah,
I think the Bears, they had some really excited pointy guys.
And that was lengthy. It wasn't like 5 seconds later.
No.
It was like a good 15 to 20
jumping
seconds.
Jumping and pointing and pointing. Like the more you
Jaquan
jump.
Jaquan Brisker. It was Brisker. He was he did it about three or four times.
He was like,
he was a very animated Brisker.
Yeah, it's still our ball.
My theory is that actually affects who gets the ball. Because at the bottom of that blob, you don't know what's going on, and guys are tearing each other's eyes out and putting fingers in their orifices and spitting on them and all that. And if you point enough, the ball will find its way to your team, and they did it. Anthony Herron is sponsored by Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868, and by Fireplace and Chimney Authority. Visit online or their Elmhurst and Lyle showrooms. It was Andrew Billings who never stopped playing.
Uh-huh.
And if we are going to say nice things, I said we're going to get to Jalen Johnson, but Andrew Billings is like a destroyer of worlds out there,
and doing it not just from the one technique, but a variety of positions along the defensive front. And it's fun to see a guy, he's not as impactful as Montez Sweat was when he showed up last year, but a guy who had achieved a certain stature in football, who's viewed a certain way in football, and shows up here and has taken his game to another level. And that to me is just fun. It's endearing to see that, because Andrew Billings is a good football player, has been a good football player, who's now turning into through two games this season, but a Pro Bowl level of production that he's had here early. And he's so impactful, and the Bears defense as a whole has garnered so much respect around the league that Billings might be worthy of that type of acclaim if he keeps this up. And to be a run defender at this level, and especially, as much as Houston had C.J. Stroud and all the weapons and everything else coming into the game, but you look at the 30 carries Joe Mixon got in the first game, and the idea that maybe they were going to come out and try to hammer away at the Bears in this game, because the Bears gave up rushing yards throughout the majority of the first half against the Titans the previous week. And Andrew Billings is a big part of what's helped to shut that run down, as is his line mate Javon Dexter, for what they've been able to do there on the interior of the front. And it's hard, man. Like, when the team is that close to scoring what's a put it away touchdown, and Billings is getting off that block and puts his hat right on the football to take it away and breathe new life just that one last time into your offense, that's special stuff. And that's the stuff that you put on film. And so there's not a young guy in that meeting room. There's not a young guy on that defense that you can't turn on the film and say, look at Andrew Billings still going to work when the game is maybe about to get out of reach. And he's still putting in that type of effort and urgency. And I know there's concern for those moments where some of the Bears studs and some of the Bears starters aren't on the field in the lineup when the opponent maybe puts points on the board at times. But part of what you're hoping for is that sustainability late in game where, if I take my starters out for a series or at least for a few snaps, give them a blow, that allows that energy to be sustained into the fourth quarter. That allows their effectiveness to be sustained at a different level into November in December. So that's a part of that calculus at times in game to say that, yeah, I might be saving for a few snaps here, but that allows them to be closer to their peak at a later time.
Now, because you play defense, I'm really curious about this. You're doing the things that make people think, yes, this is a top five defense. I got him at top 10. I said with the possibility of being top five. Dan's already, he's got the crown. He's put it on top five defense, right?
Oh, wow. Okay.
But when you're playing at the level that this defense is playing, and you see what's going on offense, and I'm asking this because Dan Weider described it as like kind of a heavy air in the locker room after the game. Mm. How much time do you have to get it together as an offense before the defense is going to get beyond frustrated with you know, half the team not pulling its weight, if you will.
Right. I mean, and a lot of that ends up depending on the personalities in that locker room. That's where I think the type of roster that Ryan Poles has assembled here, we were talking about grace in the previous segment here. There's a lot of grace that's going to be given with this offense. You know, there's a lot of respect for Keenan Allen and DJ Moore and Cole Kmet. Now, our guy's going to get frustrated with the O-line, sure, but that frustration will just come out with DeMarcus Walker continuing to attack them in practice and hope they get better. But I don't necessarily think it'll come out, you know, within the media where guys start pointing public fingers at each other, anything like that. And, you know, they didn't make Caleb Williams a captain by accident. You know, he's a rookie quarterback who everyone knows what's on his shoulders. And I think that there's a level of deference and patience that'll be given to that because everyone in that locker room knows how limited the likelihood is that a rookie steps into that position in the league and immediately lights it up. It's just not something we see that frequently. So they can be super impressed with him, have the highest of high hopes for him, but they all see him every day and know this is a rookie. It's going to take a little bit of time. So I don't anticipate, even with the struggles we've seen here so far, if that continues for a little while, I don't anticipate a lot of fractures or fissures coming in that locker room anytime soon.
We saw a lot of Tyreek Stevenson and heard his name called. He was involved in a lot of things last night in and around the ball. At one point he got trucked on a play near the sideline when
digging in Nico Collins' nose one time. Like, there was a lot of stuff happening.
There was a lot. And you know why? Because the guy on the other side of the field is taking that receiver away completely. And Tyreek Stevenson has an opportunity here. He's going to get a lot more attention because as long as Jalen Johnson is out there, you can't throw anywhere near him. So Tyreek's going to get tested. Kyler Gordon is going to get tested. The safeties are going to get tested. But they're not even daring to test Jalen Johnson.
And that's saying something when C.J. Stroud is that quarterback, because with good reason, there are a few guys who are more confident in their pure arm talent and their ability to be accurate and dart the football from all kinds of different angles and platforms and velocities and positions on the field than C.J. Stroud. And so for him, or even early in the career of Jalen Johnson, for Aaron Rodgers to avoid throwing at Jalen Johnson, that just showcases the level of play that he's been at for years now. And he continues to get better at this point in his career, at this stage in his development, after getting paid, still, you know, feeling a level of disrespect, like folks don't recognize what a great player he's been here and wanting to make sure that they end up feeling that. So for Tyreek Stevenson, he's got the right attitude for that, the right type of gumption that you need, because yes, he will continue to be the guy who gets attacked more frequently than not out on the edge in game, and he continues to step up and be willing to be physical in those scenarios. You don't see him drawing flags to the same extent that he did early in his rookie season last year. His game has continued to round into form, and you got to have that kind of mentality when you're out there, because the Nico Collinses of the world, they're going to get you on occasion. They're too good. The opposing quarterback is frequently going to be too good. You're going to get got sometimes, and it's at times going to be embarrassing. You might become a meme on occasion, but do you step back forward, and are you willing to be the guy who memes your opponent the next snap? And Stevenson seems to have that mentality where he's undaunted when somebody gets him, and he seems really confident that he's going to be able to get them the next time around.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? an easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the Snacktime MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Maybe that conversation is going to be had this week that you talked about between the head coach, Matt Eberflus, his offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron. If it is, if it isn't, what do you want to see from Matt Eberflus going forward as a head coach who has been given, you know, this next year to figure things out with the rookie quarterback? Obviously, he's calling plays on defense. My question always has been, is he doing too much? Do you feel like that's a lot for a head coach of a team who hasn't had a winning record since he's been there to be doing? Or is this just kind of his brand and what he excels at and makes him maybe more comfortable in that head coaching role? I'm of the belief that maybe a CEO type situation is more appropriate at this level for a head coach.
I like the question because it's become a lot more infrequent now than it used to be. We got to a stretch, and especially because so many of the head coaches were offensive guys who were offensive coordinators and play callers before, so they get the big whistle, and they would just continue to handle both roles. And so Eberflus is on the opposing side of the ball, but right now managing it in that similar fashion, but it's not what he wanted to do. And I really dug that about him, that for his first head coaching opportunity, he went into it not saying that I'm going to continue to run and to call plays on the side of the football that I specialize in because I want to be able to oversee the entire team. In his initial press conferences, that first season as the coach, he talked more about his meetings with Justin Fields than he did about his meetings with anyone on the Bears defense, because he did want to make sure that folks recognized he was the head coach of the entire team. And then whatever it was, a third of the way through the season last year, when he took over defensive play calling duties, the defense ascended exponentially from that point. So you see the excellence that's there for Matt Eberflus as a defensive play caller. Does that detract from Matt Eberflus, the head coach, though? No one knows that as well as Matt Eberflus, and that conversation that can be there between him and Ryan Poles. Eric Washington is here, and at the level of play we're seeing from this Bears D-line, you have to give credit for Eric Washington's presence here as being a big part of that. Is there a point where Flus gives that up, gives that over to Eric Washington? I doubt that would be the case this season. But, you know, if the season works out in a way that Matt Eberflus gets another year beyond here because of the success they have, then maybe, you know, he delegates that to Washington at some point. But the Bears D-line is playing at a level beyond what I think a lot of us maybe anticipated. So Eric Washington's presence has been a net positive. There's no doubt the results are saying that so far. But Flus, you know, figuring that out, like being the head coach, meeting with Caleb and doing that and still finding time to defensive game plan and be ready for that. I'd say through two games of the season here, Matt Eberflus, the head coach, there's a lot to question there. Matt Eberflus, the DC, still a very impressive results. But, yeah, the challenges and talking to his OC and figuring that aspect of it out, you still got some stuff to get right as the head coach.
Here's a chance coming up, as football will do this for you sometimes. I believe the Bears are already 2.5-point underdogs.
Yeah, that's the line.
Lucas Oil Stadium taking on the Colts. The Colts sure didn't impress me. Because they made those Packers, like, you want to talk about playing to your base, if that base still exists. I was thinking, you watched what the offensive line was doing in the run game, and that looked like Skronsky and Thurston and Jim Ringo and Jerry Kramer and Forrest Gregg, all with Vince Lombardi going, you got a seal here, you got a seal here, you got a seal here, and off you go. And then it's Jim Taylor running behind him, because that was some old-fashioned football going on there. I don't know if the Bears want to try to emulate that, or if they even could if they wanted to, but the opportunity's there.
The Colts, I went and visited with them in training camp and got an up-close look at them. I walked away feeling like they're in kind of a similar space to the Bears. They've gotten there on different paths where, you know, the Colts sort of, you know, carried over a lot of the pre-existing talent and re-signed guys like DeForest Buckner and multiple linebackers and defensive backs who were part of a defense that didn't necessarily have a lot of statistical success last year. But, yeah, they rushed the quarterback at a high level. They began to take the football away at a higher level as the season wore on last year. But then you do have a quarterback that hasn't played a lot of football but is immensely physically gifted. You got a running back who finally got his money, but he was all banged up last year in Jonathan Taylor. But an offensive line that they've invested in, and that's one of the big differences between their roster and the Bears' roster. The Colts have invested more deeply in the guys up front, and they have a very specific development plan for Anthony Richardson, as the Bears have had with Caleb Williams. So there's a lot of parallels between each of the two teams, and they're in a division that surprisingly ended up being deeper than a lot of folks anticipated going into last year. So Richardson's numbers aren't always pretty from a completion percentage perspective, and he turned it over quite a bit last week, something we hadn't seen him do much of. So there's some parallels there between these two teams, and which sort of parallel line, which plan that's in place will suit, you know, one squad more so than the other one. They can rush the quarterback. They don't have to blitz, but they're looking at what we just saw on film from Sunday Night Football. Maybe the Colts say, you know what, let's go ahead and ramp up our blitz package a little bit more too, because they got guys who can rush pretty effectively even without needing that second and third level pressure to come along also. But, you know, the amount of rush yards that were given up, you would hope the Bears are salivating over that possibility and that opportunity that can be there to try to get their run game going, because they have got to. They have got to find a way to manufacture running of the football. It won't only aid Caleb Williams. It will aid the offensive line to allow them to roll off the ball and start to move people against their will. It makes everything else feel far more open. Just at least cut out the negative runs. And that's I told you guys about DeAndre Swift a bit when they first signed him, because he can be electric in the open field, but you have to figure out how to utilize him in that way. He is not a battering ram, and that's a part of the issue you run into with Swift, because he's got some wiggle, some suddenness, some burst. He's got great hands, but who's the one who's imposing their will on the defense, especially when you got to bring your own block? If the guys up front aren't blocking it well enough for you, then who's the one who's just getting that yard on their own? DeAndre Swift hasn't consistently shown throughout his career that he can be that guy.
Anthony Herron, outstanding today. Much appreciated.
I appreciate you both.